Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
You know, you can come to church not feeling very well. You can come to church maybe down in the dumps, maybe it's been a difficult and hard day. But just to come into the church and feel the presence of the Lord is rejuvenating. All of a sudden you begin to feel strength for your physically tired bodies. All of a sudden you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is lifting you up out of that depression that you've been in all day. What a joy it is to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. They've already left me. This is the second time they've done me that way. Thank you guys for hanging with me tonight. I appreciate you trying to hang with me. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight, isn't it? Amen. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that we don't like to talk about a whole lot, don't like to think about a whole lot. We like to think that everything's wonderful, and I imagine there may be some here tonight that just think that you finally arrived and you're there and you're it and you have arrived. But for the rest of us that are here tonight, we realize that we're still a work in progress. And God is still working on us to help us to become everything that He wants us to be. And tonight my subject is the subject of sanctification. And I know some weeks ago I spoke somewhat on this same subject, but last Sunday night, Pastor Steve was preaching, and his subject was the new birth. And he did a great job talking about being born again and what it meant to be born again. And while he was talking about all of that, it just sort of came to me, maybe on Wednesday night I need to follow that up talking about sanctification, because once you get saved, the next thing that should start happening in your life, you should start the process of sanctification in your life. And I know that's not a word that we hear all the time, and we don't hear a lot of preachers preaching on that subject anymore. And thank God Pastor Ronnie Reed preaches about that from time to time. And he may not use the same terminology, but he is still preaching that we should live right. As Christians, there are things that we don't do, and there are some things that we should do, but there are also things that we should not do. And sometimes when he's up here preaching, he turns around and preaches to the back wall so you won't think he's talking about you. I just want to tell you tonight, he's talking about every one of you. Amen. He may not be looking at you, but he's talking to every one of you, because there's a message that he's wanting to get across. And it may not hit you on that particular Sunday or service, but just stick around, because sooner or later, he'll get around to you as well. Because that's the way the word of the Lord is. Sometimes it's for you and sometimes it's for someone else. But if you just hang around long enough, you'll find out that the word finally catches up with you as well. And so I want to talk to you tonight about that. I'm gonna say this. I hope it's the truth, especially since my subject is what it is tonight. Because if you're sanctified, you don't lie, right? And so I'm just gonna say tonight, by faith, I'm not gonna preach a long time. So we'll see how that comes out tonight. Now, when the Holy Ghost gets into the arrangements, I'm not responsible. right? Because he can do what he wants to do as long as he wants to do it. But Pastor Steve preached a great message Sunday night about being born again, and he, in fact, he shared a lot of things with us that about his family, that his family is probably going to be talking to him quite a bit about some of the examples that he used. Maybe they've already talked to him some. Thank you so much. I do need help. And he dealt with the subject very well, and I think he did a great presentation about the new birth and being born again. And he went back to the story in the Bible about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was one of the rulers of the city, and so he had come to Jesus by night because probably he didn't want everybody to see him coming to Jesus. But he came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And that's one of the things that Pastor Steve elaborated on the other night, and that is, it is a must, it is a requirement for people to be born again. There's no way to get around it. Jesus expressed it very well when he was talking to Nicodemus. You must be born again. It's not an optional thing. It's not if you want to, if it's convenient, if you don't mind. It is a declaration of an action that Jesus wants us all to take, and that is that we all must be born again. Amen. Can I hear an amen here tonight? So I think we all understand that, and we've come to that realization. And when we talk about the new birth, then we also talk about repentance, because that's part of what you do when you are born again. You actually repent. And that word, and I talked about this Sunday morning, and that is that repentance simply means to change your mind. To change your mind. When you repent, you're simply going through a change of mind. And you decide that I'm going in the wrong direction, and all of a sudden Jesus comes to your life, and you repent, and you say, "I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to turn around and go in the right direction and go in the direction that God wants me to go." And I would have to say here tonight, and I know this is a little plain, it's a little blunt and to the point, but there are only two places that you're going to either wind up in heaven or in hell. There's no middle ground there. We're all destined people. We are eternally bound people. The end of this life is not the end of your existence, because living within you, there is an eternal being, there's an eternal soul that will never die. And so we understand from Scripture that either we go to heaven or we go to hell. There are no other places to go. Also, that's not an optional thing either. Either you are prepared to make heaven your home, or else you'll wind up in hell. Now, people don't go to hell because they are fornicators or bank robbers or murderers. People go to hell because they've turned their back on Jesus Christ, the only means of salvation. Now, the people in hell tonight are probably some of those kind of people. They're murderers and whoremongers and thieves and fornicators and all the other things the Bible talks about. And we'll look at some of those even tonight, possibly, before we get through and talk about the kinds and the types of people that will not make it into heaven. So if you don't go to heaven, there's another place called hell. It is a reality. Hell is a real place. Just as surely as there is a heaven, there's also a hell. Amen? I have read some articles over the last few years that has talked about some of the theology of young men and young ladies coming out of some of the theological schools of our country. And it is alarming to find out that many of the students who are coming out of theological school and college no longer believe that there is a real, literal hell. But I just want to declare tonight, upon the authority of the Word of God, not my authority, My word doesn't mean a whole lot, but the word of God declares that there is a place called hell. Whether you believe in that or not is irrelevant, because the word of God is truth, and let every man be a liar. Amen. And so we base our suppositions then on the word of God, and surely, as sure as there's a heaven, there is also a place called hell. And the only way to get to heaven is to be born again. The only way to get to heaven is repent of being a sinner and turn around and start serving Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that you will not go to hell, but you can go to heaven. Now, the good thing about going to heaven is Jesus declared in John chapter 14, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare for you a place. And if I go to prepare for you a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, I don't know where you're planning on your destination to be for eternity, but my destination has already been set. I didn't set it. I made the right decision. But Jesus has already set my destination as heaven, because I've done what is required to do to make heaven my home. I repented of my sins. I turned from a life of sinfulness and wickedness and turned my life around, and I made an about face, and I said to myself and I said to God, "I am not going to hell. I am going to heaven. And I want you to come into my life, save me, help me to be born again, give me that transformation of lifestyle so that heaven will in fact be my home." So we're all on that journey tonight. At least I hope you are. And if you're not on that journey toward heaven, you're in the right place tonight, because you can change your mind and you can change your life right here this evening. So we're all on this journey, and we're all on this journey together. And we have basically taken step number one, and that is we've been born again. We've been saved. Our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're on our way to heaven tonight. I'm determined, and I hope you are as well, that nothing will slow me down. Nothing will prevent me from making it to heaven. We all have trials and tribulations in this world, and in fact, the Bible says that in this world we shall have tribulation. Jesus said, "Though, be comforted, because I have overcome the world. And if I overcame, you can also overcome the world." There is nothing, and I want to say this again tonight, there is nothing that comes against you that is able to overcome you, as long as you hold on to the hand of the man that has the nail scars. I know that there are some terrible things that happen in life. And there are things that happen sometimes that are unexplainable. You know, we're human enough that we like explanations. We like things to be explained to us. We like to know who, what, and why. And so we're always looking for those answers. But in my experience, I found out that there are some things that I have not found an answer to. There are some things that I have not found an answer as to why. But this one thing I do know. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that He's alive tonight. And I know that He's making a way where there seems to be no way. And when I'm walking through the darkest tunnel of my life, I can have the assurance that it's going to be okay. I may not understand it. I may not know why. I may not know what I'm going through exactly. But I know at the end of the road, the Lord, Jesus Christ Himself, will be there to take me by the hand and lead me through. There is nothing, I'm going to say it again, there is nothing that comes your way that is able to overcome you, as long as you keep your perspective and your eyes on the Lord. Can I hear an amen from this church here tonight? So if that be true, then we are all victorious this evening. We all are living and walking in victory. We have tribulations, yes. We have trials, yes. We have difficulties that come our way, yes. But I am an overcomer. I will not give up. I am determined that I'm going to hold on and keep pressing on until I can hear Jesus say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, the enemy comes along every once in a while, and he tries to knock the props out from under me and you as well. And he would like to do that. He would like to pull every one of you down to the place that you will be discouraged and you'll quit and you'll give up and you'll just go back to the old lifestyle and the old way and not worry about living a Christian life, because it is hard sometimes and there are difficulties that we have to go through. And the enemy of your soul is not your friend. I want to tell you, everything that he tells you is basically a lie. He has always been a liar. He always will be a liar. And if he tells you something, you should think the total opposite, because usually the opposite is the truth. Amen. If he tells you that you're not going to make it in, well, the truth is you are going to make it in. You are going to be victorious. You are going to live for the Lord. You are not going to give up. You're not going to quit in the middle of the stream. You're going to keep pressing on, even though the way may be hard. And sometimes you may be on your knees trying to make it along. And sometimes it feels like your back is about to break because of the load that you're carrying. I'm here tonight to tell you, hold on to Jesus' hand. Hold on to the hand of the man that has the nail scars. Because I'll guarantee you tonight, he will make a way for you somehow. Just keep trusting him. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And so we're all on this journey. And there are ups and downs, and there are ins and outs, and there are mountains and valleys. And we have all of these experiences that are coming our way. But living for the Lord is a process that we go through. We talked about number one, being born again. When you become born again and you get saved, as we usually refer to that experience, we get saved. That's step number one. And from that day until you die or the rapture takes place, you're in a developmental process. Right. You're just developing a little bit more every day that you live. Now, my observation through the years that I've been in ministry is that some people are a little bit further ahead than others. Some people have some catching up to do. They need to be a lot further up this road of living for God than they are, because they haven't made a whole lot of progress. You hear what I'm saying? They're still lagging behind just a little. They should be at point C. Well, they're still at point A. They haven't progressed very far. They haven't developed very much in their life. That developmental process that we go through, I believe, is what we would call sanctification. Sanctification simply means being set apart from the profane to a secular usage. We were living in sin on our way to hell, but God saved us and turned us around and gave us victory. And tonight we're making our way toward heaven, and we are developing some as we go every day that we live. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Steve used this analogy Sunday night, and I'm going to pull it out again tonight and use it as well, and just say to you that living for the Lord and processing sanctification in our life is a growth process, and it is very similar to a natural birth experience. Brother Steve talked about this the other night. When the birth takes place, you have a baby, right? Well, that baby has to learn how to do certain things. It doesn't pop out of the womb with the ability to run around the room. Boy, that would be fun now, wouldn't it? That would certainly be a little unusual. Little baby just be birthed into this world, and all of a sudden they jump up off the table and run around the room three or four times. Grab that fella before he gets away. Well, that doesn't happen. We understand that, right? That doesn't happen because it is a process that is happening in that baby's life. He or she has to develop and grow a little bit every day. And so the baby learns to crawl, the baby learns to walk and stand up and run, and all of those are developmental stages in that baby's life. And I would just say to you tonight, as you are walking with the Lord and as God is processing sanctification in your life and you're being set apart for the usage of God and for the glory of God, as you walk with Him every day, there are different processes that you go through, and we all have a different pace by which we develop. But we are developing. And you can just look at me tonight and tell that there's a whole lot of room for improvement in me. But while you're looking at me, I'm looking at every one of you too. And I can tell you from where I'm standing, some of you need some help. But take heart, dear friend, help is on its way. Help is coming. So this experience of sanctification is simply a process that God is taking us through to help us to be everything that God wants us to be. You don't start off being the best Christian in the world the night you get saved. Right? You have to develop. You have to grow. You have to go through this process that God is taking us through to help us to be everything that He wants us to be. Now, God does not want you to be you any longer. He wants you to be Him. He wants you to take on His characteristics. He wants you to take on His attributes. We are to die to self. We are to crucify self, but come alive in Christ Jesus. So when people see us and we're a living testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of salvation, when people see us, they don't see us necessarily. They see Jesus living in you. That's what we're trying to achieve tonight. That's what sanctification is all about. It's that process by which God is perfecting us and helping us to be better and more like Him every day that we live. So that when we get to the end of the way, we are pretty well developed. Amen. Now I just want to, I know this is going to disappoint some of you here tonight, but I have to tell you that there is no one in this building that is perfect. I know there's a couple of you that think you are, but you're not. You're a long ways from being perfect. But God's working on us, and we're working through this process every day, and God is developing us into what He wants us to be. Now, there is a twofold work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. First, it is the work of the Spirit to bring the sinner to salvation. When people ask me to pray for their unsaved loved ones, I usually pray something like this. God, you know where they are. You know who they are. Put a hook in their jaw and turn them around. And then I usually pray and I say, Lord, send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction on them. Anybody know what conviction is? Has anybody experienced Holy Ghost conviction? I just want to say it's not a pleasant thing when God convicts us. I never will forget a few years ago when I was still pastoring over in Citrus Springs. We had this person that sort of confronted me and my wife, and my sanctification, Dennis, wasn't running too highly that night. My meter wasn't too high that night. And so it just sort of caught me at the wrong time, the wrong place, under the wrong circumstances, and I sort of lost my cool. Now, I know you don't believe I can do that, but I can. This hair used to be red. And redheads are known for their fiery tempers. And this situation just sort of caught me at that moment. And it just sort of caught me off guard. And I was not where I needed to be. And I just came unglued a little bit and took my finger and I shook my finger in their face just like this. And I said what I wanted to say. And I felt good about it, because what I said, they needed to hear it. We got home, and bless her heart, Jane. You know the rest of the story. Jane says, now, honey, what you said was right, but the way that you said it was not right. And so God used Jane by the Holy Ghost to tell me that I needed to make some amends. That's what sanctification is all about. You see, I had to go back and make it right. In the next service, I swallowed my pride. I debated with myself. They needed to hear what I said. They deserved it. But the Holy Ghost said, you got to make it right. And so the next service, here I come in. All whipped and beat down. I got to talk to you. Okay. I just want to tell you, I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you the other night. I want you to forgive me. That's sanctification. That's allowing the Holy Spirit into your life so that your attitude and your lifestyle will be pleasing to the Lord. And we are going to mess up. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to fail along the way. But I'm here tonight to tell you, you don't have to be a failure, because you can get up, ask forgiveness, and ask God to help you, and you can go on a better person than you were when you started. Amen. Sometimes the trials and the tribulations that we go through make us a better Christian. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes to bring conviction on sinners. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the world that we live in today. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict sinners and let them know that they're on their way to hell and they need a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How often have we quoted that scripture? And we understand the significance of that every one of us came to the Lord a sinner. You didn't come a saint. You didn't come righteous. You came unrighteous, lost, and on your way to hell. But the Holy Ghost brought you to a place of salvation. And Jesus at that moment came and washed your sins away and placed them in the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be held against you anymore, regardless of how often the devil may come back and try to remind you of your past. You just need to remind him of his future. Because my sins tonight are gone. Hallelujah to the blood of the Lamb. My sins are gone. They're in God's sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought to my account ever again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The second work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life other than baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're not talking about that tonight, but the second work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is to bring us to a place where that we have given control of our life, of our heart, of our mind, and all that we are, we have given control of our life to the Holy Spirit, not us. You see, when you're walking in the flesh, you're in control. You're making the decisions. When you're walking in the Spirit, and the Bible admonishes us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so when we're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit is working in our life, and the Spirit is in control of our heart and mind, then we become what God wants us to become. And we do what God wants us to do because the Holy Spirit is now controlling our heart and our mind. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, I don't want to be in control. I mess things up when I'm in control. That's the example that I just gave you. I took control. And I acted out, and I had to go back and say, forgive me. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to come into your life and help you with control issues. To bring your life under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's what sanctification is all about. The Holy Spirit does not force himself on anyone, but as you yield yourself to the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit will come in and take control of your life and guide you as you should go. And he will develop you into what God wants you to be. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad he's in control of my life tonight. And so when the Spirit comes in, then it is the Spirit working in our life, and he is controlling our life, and we're working and moving under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now, I like to think of it in this terminology, and that is, would you imagine a chair tonight sitting on your heart? Inside of your being, not that physical heart that you have, but inside of your being, there's that seat of emotion and affections and the real essence of who you are. And we call that the heart. And there's a throne room in your heart tonight. There's a big throne there. There's a big chair there that someone occupies. And whoever occupies that throne is in control of your life. Now, we can have the flesh controlling our life. We talk about Galatians chapter 5, talks about the works of the flesh, and we all understand that. We've read that many times. And we understand that when you get to the end of that reading, it tells you that those people who commit those things who live by the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And could I just stop there long enough to say tonight, it puzzles me in the day that we're living how that people can do things that are totally, totally wrong in the sight of God, and they can break all of the rules and the regulations that God may have that are listed in Galatians chapter 5. You look at fornicators and adulterers and so forth on down the line. And there are people that think, well, you know, I can do all of these things, but somehow I'll just slip by. So, you know, we're... my oldest grandson, took up with a little girl. And usually when he's not living right, he doesn't call us too much. And he just happened to call that day and talk to his granny. And he was telling granny about this little girl that he was taking up with. And he had moved into her home and so forth and so on. And Sister Cash, being the good person that she is, said, well, grandson, don't you know that that's wrong in the sight of God? And he said, well, granny, times are different. That was the wrong thing to say to Granny. Granny sort of unleashed on him and said, look, times may change, circumstances may change, customs may change, but the Word of God never changes. And the Word of God still declares that what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong. You can't take that away. You can't compromise that. When Galatians say these things, people who do these kind of things and they live this kind of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I mean, how do you excuse yourself? But that's the times that we're living in. We're living in times now where people excuse their sins and say, well, it's different times. And the one that sort of blows my mind is when they say, well, God understands and He still loves me. Well, yes, God understands and He still loves you, but He does not condone sin in your life. That's good preaching, Brother Cash. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Scripture says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow, grow. The little baby that is born has to grow. The new Christian that is just born again and comes to know the Lord, that new Christian has to grow. It is a process of development. And so as we continue this process, we become more like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The things that you used to do, the places that you used to go, the way you used to talk, the way you used to live your life, the things that you used to do on the weekends. I want you to know when you come to Christ and become a new creature, all things pass away. Or at least they should. And if you're still hanging on to some of those old things, you need to bring them back to the cross and crucify them and place them on the cross and walk away and leave them on the cross and not take them back with you.
Help us, Lord.
Woo! Salvation without change is no salvation. Because salvation is about change all the way. It's about change. It's about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. I'm glad I'm not the old creature I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. God has delivered me and set me free and given me a new lease on life, and I'm living for Him, and I'm doing my best every day to grow in the admonition of the Lord so that I can be more like Him every day that I live. Pastor Ronnie slipped in just a few moments ago, and we're glad to see him and his family back. I just want to tell you, God does not want you to be like Brother Ronnie.
Amen.
God, we all love him and have great respect for him and all of those things, but I just want to tell you tonight, God doesn't want you to be like him. Some of you, it would blow your corkscrew right there. It would... You couldn't take it. You couldn't handle it. God doesn't want you to be like me. Some of you have a favorite television preacher, no doubt, but I'm just here tonight to tell you that God doesn't want you to be like them. God wants you to be like Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul. He wants you to take on His likeness and His image. You want to be like Him. Don't pattern yourself after other people. regardless of how good and how wonderful they may be, that is not your example. That is not the image that you want to be. You want to become Jesus Christ in your life, so that when people see you, they don't see Don Allender. They see Jesus Christ living in Don. We want that too, Don. Don says, why do they always pick on me? But God wants us to grow up. Doesn't want you to stay an infant. In working with Anthony through the years, I'm not going to go into a lot of details on that, except to say, in working with Anthony through the years, we have seen a lot of children that are so horribly deformed and crippled because of birth defects and things that took place prior in that birth. And Anthony, though he has his problems, when we look at some of those children, we just say, thank God Anthony is who he is. I never will forget, some years ago, we were over at the Key, and they had this little fella, and I think he was, 20-something years old, and he was about that long. One of the most pitiful situations that I've ever seen in my life. And the problem was, he never developed. He never grew. He never became what God really wanted him to be. Because of some kind of birth defect, he never grew. And I believe that God looks down tonight in his church and he sees a similar situation. He sees Christians who were born years ago, but they're still looking like infants. They've never grown. They've never matured. They've never moved ahead. They've never developed in their spirituality. And you say the least little thing to them, they get mad, get their feelings hurt, and run off and pout. Why? Because they never grew up. You preach on tithe and giving and sort of dig around where they're living, and they get mad and quit and run off somewhere because they never grew up. They don't like the songs that Dennis is singing. They don't like the sermons that Brother Cash is preaching. And they get their feelings hurt and they run off and they quit. Why? Because they never grew up. I want to tell you something tonight. It doesn't matter what Dennis Duggar sings. It doesn't matter whether it's old Ridback hymnal, which I like, or something brand new off the hot press. I came to worship God. I came to magnify the Lord. Now, I must say, if they throw a banjo and a fiddle in there, it makes it a whole lot easier for me to tap my foot. But Brother Dennis, I didn't come to just per se listen to your singing and your music. I came to sing the songs of praise under the name of the Lord. Regardless of where it comes from, what book it's out of, what song, whoever the songwriter is, I've come to worship God and to adore the name of Jesus, and it doesn't matter. We all have our preference, and most of you know my preferences. But Dennis, if you're singing something hot off the press, I'm going to do my best to worship with you. Why? Because that's who I am. That's what it's about. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. It's about exalting the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what you want or what you like or what your preference is. It's about who He is. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! I didn't know this was going to be so good. Let me cut ahead because time is getting away from me. Life is full of choices. We make choices every day. You make choices when you get up in the morning. When you go to work and get to your job, you make choices. Making choices is something that we do all the time. I just want to tell you tonight that I chose a long time ago to live a Christian life. I made that choice. Nobody forced me to do that. Mom and Dad didn't force me to make that decision. The preacher didn't force me to make that decision. My friends didn't force me to make that decision. I made that choice on my own. I made a choice. And there have been a lot of times in my life where I have failed. But I've always kept my choice foremost in my thinking. I may fall, I may stumble, I may have difficulties on my way, but I made a choice many years ago to serve God. There have been some hard times that we've been through. I've asked all the questions, just like all the rest of you have. Who, when, why, and what for? Some of those questions I've never found an answer to. But I made a decision a long time ago to live for Jesus. And I've never gone back on that decision. I've never gone back on that choice. There are things that I choose to do and not to do because I read the Bible and the Bible tells me there are things that I should do and should not do. And I wish if I had more time tonight, I would certainly and had planned to get into some of those details as well. You know, years ago, let me just share this with you. Years ago, in the Church of God, probably most Pentecostal churches back in the good old days, it was wrong to watch TV. You could not watch TV. If you were Church of God or Assembly of God or Pentecostal Holiness or some of those Pentecostal groups or independent holiness churches, you better not have a TV in your house. And if you were a preacher and you had a TV antenna on your house, next week they had the U-Haul backed up to your door. They were packing you, sending you on down the road because they were not going to have their preacher watching the television. Well, you say, well, here's the interesting thing. We use the scripture, Psalms 101, verse 3, because it says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And that was the verse that we used about TV. TV was that one-eyed demon that you put in your living room. And if you really were a Church of God holiness person, you didn't watch TV because people that watched TV were going straight to hell. Because you didn't want to set anything wicked before your eyes. Now we laugh at that tonight because That was back in the good old days, and I know what some of you have already been thinking. Well, Brother Cass, we've come a long way, baby. I've got a TV just about in every room of my house. But the truth of the matter is, there are things that come on the television set that you as a Christian should not be looking at. You get my point? You know, back some years ago, we sort of went to the extremes on a lot of things. We went to a lot of extremes. We were trying to be holy. We were doing our best to please God. You understand that? And any mistakes that we made, it was simply out of ignorance. And we've learned a lot through the last many years. And we've realized that some of those things that we used to think were going to send you to hell, they ain't going to send you to hell necessarily. But they might. If you can't control it. I've got to quit right along here somewhere. Dennis, please come and help me. Can I ask you to go back and read the book of Ephesians chapter 4? If you want to understand what I'm talking about, you may be sitting there tonight, what in the world is he talking about? If you want to understand a little bit, I haven't had time to get to that. Go home and read Ephesians chapter 4. Because it talks about everything that I've been trying to say to you tonight. How to live for God. What God wants you to do. Things that God doesn't want you to do. Would you stand with me, please? I want you to think about one thing in your life that you know God is not pleased with. I want you to think of just one, because some of you here tonight may have a whole bunch of things. And you can just sort of pick one out somewhere, you know, just sort of pick one out. And some of you may be thinking tonight, well, I'm too far along, Brother Cash. I don't deal with those issues anymore. Oh, is that right? Well, I'm glad you've gotten to that point. I haven't yet. But I want you to think for just a moment here tonight. I want you to think about that one thing in your life that you know God is not pleased with. It may be the movies that you watch. It may be the TV programs that you watch. It may be, Lord, what else could we think of? So many things. One thing in your life that you know God is not pleased with. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's your words. Think about that one thing that God would change in you if you were to give him the opportunity to do that. One, just one thing. In your mind right now, and I know that some of you are already thinking about something. That one thing that you know God wants you to change. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and as I pray, I want you to step out from your seat. If you have that one thing, I want you to step out from your seat. And come and meet me here at this altar tonight. Would you do that? My Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of sharing the word with this church tonight. And I know that you're still working on us. I know that we still have things in our life that we're struggling with. We're not going to ask anybody to reveal their secrets in their life, but I am asking them to bring them to an altar tonight. Bring them to an altar. Lord, speak to people right here tonight. I believe that there can be some changes that will take place here this evening. There will be life revolutionary changes. And I'm asking you to speak to your people tonight about change.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Would you step out and join me here at this altar?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.